This is the Hoosier Ag Today Thursday podcast, the latest Indiana farm news, plus markets and weather. I'm Andy Eubank on the 29th of May, 2025, the Hat Podcast, made possible by First Farmers Bank and Trust, proudly serving local farms, families, and agribusiness for 140 years. Visit them online, ffbt.com. C.J. Miller will join me with the news today, including a look at an up-and-down spring for Indiana corn and soybean plants, and learn about a new awareness program called Forestry for the Birds. Hat Chief Meteorologist Ryan Martin has some good drying weather today, but another round of rain is happening out west, and there was weakness in corn and soybeans yesterday, slight gains for Chicago wheat futures. Tom Fritz from Chicago has the market analysis on the Hoosier Ag Today Thursday podcast.
As a farmer, you plant millions of seeds every spring. You know that tomorrow's harvest depends on today's hard work, knowledge, and care. At First Farmers, we recognize that today's seed is tomorrow's success in both farming and finance. If you're looking for a bank that has been committed to agriculture for over 135 years and has the experience to prove it, let's talk. Learn more at ffbt.com or stop by your local branch. First Farmers Bank and Trust, Equal Opportunity Lender, member FDIC.
Considering a career in agriculture? Michigan State University's Institute of Agricultural Technology offers in-state tuition rates for students from Indiana and beyond. With programs like Ag Operations, Forest Technology, and Food Processing, MSU IAT prepares career-ready graduates in 2 years. Our certificate programs are designed to launch your students' future in agriculture. Take the first step at iat.msu.edu.
A crop update from West Central Indiana, and how Indiana's woodland owners can help preserve our dwindling migratory bird population. I'm C.J. Miller, and this is Hoosier Ag Today News. Well, corn and soybean planting is pretty well wrapped up across West Central Indiana. Andy Eubank has this update.
I would say 99% planted. We've been all over the board. We have guys that are just finishing up planting within the last week or so, but we have guys that are already side dressing some corn.
Blake Russell is technical agronomist for Channel Seed. In a Channel Seed growing season update, he says there have been some ups and downs this spring.
Yeah, all our crops seem to emerge in a really good window. Corn and beans, where I feel like we're in that 2 week or less time frame. We had some heat there at the end of April, 1st of May, that really pushed things along. And then here recently, we've just had some really cool nights, especially here in mid-May, that have slowed it down a little bit. But no, emergence and uniformities look great. But yeah, in terms of damage, we had a big windstorm go through about a week and a half, 2 weeks ago up in like Benton County, and really caused a lot of damage to soybeans. And we had, experienced some growers commented, 80 plus mile an hour winds for over 30 minutes. Caused a lot of beans to have a lot of sand blasting or damage, and unfortunately had to do a lot of replant in those situations.
Much of the replanting has been completed, but spotty rains have stalled some of that, including Wednesday showers. But a dry and warmer period is coming and will be a welcome change from very cool weather this month.
We can see, corn really growth stage-wise really hasn't moved in about a week or so. So, but definitely like that to see our corn start to grow and soybeans as well. Especially some of the later stuff to help it get out of the ground and get moving. But yeah, it looks like we're going to be getting some warmer temperatures. I expect everything to green up and look really good here in the next week or so.
Russell says it is important now to get out and scout.
We've had a very mixed bag. It was a little bit warm, but now we've been cool and damp. So just looking at, trying to protect our crop as best as we can. So whether that's, maybe a fungicide early, for corn, a V5, or just looking at, our herbicide, our second pass, what we're putting in there to make sure we're controlling our weeds. So just trying to make sure everything is kind of going to plan, and then trying to prepare for here the next month or so.
Hear more in the full Hat Channel Seed growing season update at HoosierAgToday.com. I'm Andy Eubank.
Well, it's hard to believe that there's been a net loss of nearly 3 billion birds since 1970.
Another way to think about that is that we have lost one out of every four birds in North America since that time.
And that's Alan Purcell, Director of Forest Programs for the Sam Shine Foundation. He's also based in Floyd County. That's why there's a new program called Forestry for the Birds to bring awareness to the issue and to educate Indiana's landowners. He tells Hoosier Ag Today that we could see as many as a dozen different species of birds that could completely disappear altogether in Indiana, much like the prairie chicken.
By 1982, the prairie chicken was gone. It wasn't because people didn't recognize that it was disappearing, but it was because we did too little too late. I hope we don't get into a place with a lot of these birds that we say we did too little too late. We're not there for a lot of them. We still have the chance to do something.
And that includes putting several different practices into place.
One of these practices would be crop tree release. Just going through the forest with a forester, picking out the trees that you want to grow for timber, and then killing other trees around them that may be competing. That killing of those trees will create habitat. It'll create standing dead trees and will even allow light to hit the ground. And those will benefit some birds like red-headed woodpeckers and hooded warblers.
Purcell says another practice is prescribed fire.
Now, fire is something that we always think about, and we've been taught that fire in the forest is bad. Here's what's bad. Wildfire is bad. But a controlled fire can be a good thing. We know from Native Americans, they realized that if they burned the land, they could attract game for hunting and that they could manage the land for oak. Oak actually prospers in the presence of fire. And so more fire does good for both birds and for the forest itself.
Read more about the Forestry for the Birds program by visiting samshinefoundation.org. You can also find that link at HoosierAgToday.com. I'm C.J. Miller, Hoosier Ag Today, Indiana's Farm Network.
At Farm Credit Mid-America, we do more than lend. We lift up our rural communities that we serve, too. From our day-to-day business of supporting farmers to our community investment efforts and scholarships for students, we help local rural communities find their next level. Visit fcma.com/community to learn more about our commitment to communities. Farm Credit Mid-America is an equal opportunity lender.
I'm Chief Meteorologist Ryan Martin with Hoosier Ag Today's Indiana Farm Forecast. As we take a look at the setup here for your Thursday, it is a dry day overall. Partly sunny skies in here after the moisture that tried to rotate through the state yesterday. Good drying here with evaporation rates nearing a maximum for your Thursday. However, take a look off to the west. That's what I'm doing here this morning, and I'm seeing another fairly substantial round of shower and thunderstorm activity moving through the central plains. Strong to severe weather out there already this morning that's pushing into the Missouri Valley and into southern Illinois. So I think we have to watch for this feature to streak into southern parts of Indiana overnight tonight into tomorrow. Clouds may be seen already this afternoon and evening. This is purely an Ohio Valley and Tennessee Valley feature, but it's just the northern fringe that's going to need to be watched here coming across southern Indiana. I think for overnight tonight through tomorrow, we can have to watch for some moisture up to about the US 50 area. South of there, we can see anywhere from a quarter to three quarters of an inch, but nothing going on farther north. I think we turn out partly to mostly sunny over the rest of the state. We also have a weak weather feature sagging southward out of Ontario through Michigan for overnight, Friday night into early Saturday. That's going to bring clouds into the state and maybe some hit and miss scattered showers over the northern half of Indiana, but it's all gone by sunrise on Saturday morning, and we put together a dry weekend. Full sunshine, blue sky, a nice setup here for the weekend, and we're going to keep that warm, dry pattern all the way through the first half of next week. We are looking at a few scattered showers trying to develop in the afternoon next to Thursday, but honestly, it's probably closer to Friday when that front works in with scattered showers and thunderstorms. That means we have a nice, wide-open, dry window to finish things or maybe get that next round of hay and forage work done. Looks like a nice setup through the first part of next week. The front that comes through late in the week, anywhere from a tenth to probably half an inch coverage, around 75%. And then we have another area of disturbed weather that tries to come in the start of that week of the 9th. Somewhat unsettled and not well organized right now. I'm expecting it to get more organized as we get closer to the event. That's the way your forecast is stacking up. I'm meteorologist Ryan Martin.
Planting season is here, and Beacon Credit Union is proud to stand beside the farmers who make it all happen. We're here to help with flexible lines of credit, equipment financing, and real estate loans built for your operation. At Beacon, it's ag people serving ag people, committed to your success in every season. Start at beaconcu.org. Insured by ASI, not federally insured EHO lender.
Attention construction pros. Purple Wave Auction brings quality equipment to your fingertips. Join our bi-weekly online auctions featuring dozers, excavators, loaders, and more. We provide detailed listings, photos, and seller contact info. Inspect online or in person. With our no-reserve policy, every item sells to the highest bidder. Visit purplewave.com today and see why informed builders choose Purple Wave. Transparent processes, real deals, your next great purchase awaits. purplewave.com.
Slight gains in wheat, but a sell-off, a significant sell-off in corn and beans. This is Hoosier Ag Today's Wednesday Farm Market Review. I'm Ian DeEubank. The review is brought to you by the Purdue Farm Stress Team. Don't get stuck in the mud this spring. Make sure you're getting enough rest and coping with stress in healthy ways. Deep breathing, taking a walk, calling a friend. Get more at extension.purdue.edu/farmstress. Settlements from Wednesday trade coming up. We'll begin with market comments from Tom Fritz in Chicago. Wheat a little bit higher, Tom, but it was a sell-off from the get-go on the corn and bean market side, and that comes even with some less than expected numbers on the crop progress report, but there was pressure. And where did that come from for corn and beans?
Well, Andy, I think it's, okay. You look at the report from the USDA yesterday, corn conditions weren't as expected. Planning wasn't as far along as expected, even though we're ahead of the pace. So that gave us, a little bit of higher markets in the overnight, but I think updated forecasts as the day went on saying, hey, we've got better weather on the way, warmer and drier in the areas where it's needed. So, we're going to get the idea is we're going to get the corn planted, and warmer weather is, I've got a lot of guys saying, when is the warmer weather coming? Well, it's on its way. So I think that really weighed on new crop corn. Old crop corn down 8.5. I think they're smelling the second season corn crop from Brazil, and it seems like estimates for that crop size just keep getting larger and larger. So, and basically, it's what you'll hear some reports of harvesting down there in what late June, mid late June. So, I think the market's starting to smell that on old crop corn. But I do believe new crop corn, it's about, better weather ahead for the early planted corn, as well as some drying conditions for, the areas that are a little bit soggy. Parts of your state, Ohio, especially down in the Mid-South, which is southern Illinois, southern Indiana, Kentucky, Tennessee. I think there's some drier weather on tap for that. So, you add it all up and it's like, where's the rationale for ownership? Well, we don't have any right now. Wheat market, we finished a little bit higher in Chicago, but I thought it was kind of a puny performance. Given the condition report yesterday, everybody and their neighbor was looking for better conditions. Now, the conditions report, the decline was mostly for the hard red winter states, but we've lost our competitiveness in the world circles. What was it announced late last week, early a week ago or so? Russia said, okay, minimum price, it's gone. Used to be $250 a ton, and now I'm hearing reports of they have wheat offered at $220 a ton. Well, you couple that kind of price, you look at our FOB prices, and you add the freight to it, we're no longer competitive. So I think the export sales number that we saw last week of, 800,000+ tons, biggest of the season so far, I'm not sure you're going to see many more weeks of those kind of numbers. And once again, I think better weather is on tap. I'm hearing Texas has begun its winter wheat harvest, so declining demand, and we've got, a pretty good supply coming at us. Soybeans, what a very poor performance. There's some chatter about the excessively wet areas, as I mentioned earlier, that there might be some switching of acres, but I can't imagine it's more than 1 million acres. So, you know, I think that's inconsequential. Demand for old crop beans, it's pretty much going out the window. The best demand for old crop beans is the crush, is our own domestic crush market. Well, I've always been a fan of the idea that you want a bull market in soybeans, you need export, or otherwise a very shortened supply. And I don't think we have it. Well, at least for old crop. And then you look at new crop, you know, I think we've got much better weather on tap. So, you know, where are you going to go with that? And I, you know, my opinion, just my opinion, I think the USDA has really overstated new crop soybean demand. But, you know, that remains to be seen. Soybean meal, cash prices tell it all. You know, noticeably offers that are, you know, basis numbers that are well unders, if you will. And that holds true for export as well. Soybean oil, you know, the big story at the beginning of the week was, okay, we're going to get a RVO, renewable volume obligation from the EPA later this week. Well, you know, my guess is there might be a new rumor out there that the number might not be as big as everyone was thinking about earlier this week, or they just got tired of waiting. But, you know, I look at the overall price structure in nearby bean oil, and it's not the best looking so far. But, you know, hey, you know, when you're in, you know, when you're waiting for news and, you know, you play the waiting game, it takes a while.
And that's market commentary from Tom Fritz, EFG Group in Chicago. On the Hat Wednesday Farm Market Review, down in corn, July, the lead contract 451, losing 8.5 cents. September 429.75, 4 cents down, 3 cents off on the Dease, 443.5. July beans 14 lower, 1048.5. August 1045.25, 12.75 down. And November loses 13.25, dipping to 1037.5. July wheat up 1.75, 530.25. Meats were mixed. June live cattle, 213.92, down $1.20. And June lean hogs went 27 cents over the $100 mark, up $1.17 on the day. I'm Andy Eubank with the Wednesday Review. This is Hoosier Ag Today, Indiana's most listened to farm network.